Let's bow our hearts together. Lord, we come before thee in this evening. We rejoice in this hour as we have come together around thy word. Lord, we're thankful for each one who is able to come together this evening. And we gather our hearts together around thy living word. We pray, Lord, for a blessing upon our gathering this evening, a blessing upon the reading of thy word and the meditation of it. Oh, Lord, we pray that our hearts would be open. Speak thou mightily to each one of us, O Lord, that we would see thee and believe in thee, the living God, and that we would receive life and that everlasting. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read two portions of Scripture this evening. We'll begin with Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, and I'd like to read the first 9 verses. And then we'll read from the Gospel of John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. Exodus 4, 1 through 9. Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. And Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." And the Lord said unto him, "What is that in thine hand?" And he said, "A rod." And he said, "Cast it on the ground." And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail." And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, "Put now thine hand into thy bosom." And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, "Put thine hand into thy bosom again." And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. And it came to pass, and it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river and pour it upon the dry land, and the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Turning to the Gospel of John, the last two verses of chapter 20. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. The focus this evening, dear ones, is really the words of the gospel, the apostle John, who wrote this gospel, and this is the last of the gospels that was written. So, the Holy Spirit gave unto John the instructions to write this book left for us, and it struck me as we read the purpose of why he wrote. So the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke were already written, and a large account of those Gospels is the account of the life and the death of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And so John writes a gospel that is also inspired by the Holy Spirit, and And he tells us why he wrote it. And this is the only reason that he had for writing this gospel. He says, so that these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And we know that he wrote of the miracles that Jesus did, a few of them. We know that Matthew, Mark, and Luke also give many accounts of miracles that Jesus did. But if we count them all up in all four Gospels, they probably account for maybe 50 or less, probably less than 50 miracles that are recorded of the miracles that Jesus had performed. As I read that, I thought back of the miracles that Moses had done and the things that had transpired, and it took me to the Exodus that we read, this chapter, how God was about to perform a work of redemption in the children of Israel who were in slavery in Egypt. And he sent his servant Moses to go and to speak and to lead the people. And Moses said, they're not going to believe me. And so God says, okay, throw down that rod. We know, we read it, it becomes a snake and it startles Moses. Wouldn't it startle any one of us? But the startling point really is that God is speaking to him and he's talking to him. And he throws down the rod, it becomes a snake. He picks up the snake and it becomes a rod again. He puts his hand into his bosom, it becomes leprous. He puts it back, it becomes clean again. And we can really get caught up in that miracle, like it's an amazing thing. Jesus came, and we know that that many, many more miracles were done during the exodus of the children of Israel from Egypt. And in the wilderness, as they traveled to the promised land of Canaan, we know that many miracles were performed there also. Many things that God had showed, he showed through miracles that he is God. And as we look at the children of Israel, we marvel and we say, how? How is it possible? They saw with their very eyes, these eyes that we have, that we can see with, they saw the works of God. How could they have not believed? But by and large, they didn't. And we see many miracles performed by the as we read on through the Old Testament. And the purposes of the miracles was for one and one thing alone, is to point to God himself, of his power and his omnipotence. And so as we read the account of the Gospels and Christ and his work here, I'd like to just kind of focus on this, what John has said, the purpose of this gospel account and what it was for. And you know, we can read the story from early when Christ made the wine or the water into wine. We read how he raised Lazarus from the dead. We read many accounts, and those miracles are things that make us say, wow. But those things were done. They were done for a purpose, and that purpose was to show the people that he is from God. He is God in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us. And that he has a way of life. He's a giver of life. And so when oftentimes we look, and the people that were there that witnessed these things that Jesus was doing were focused on the signs. They wanted more signs. And so the purpose of the sign was not for them to marvel on the sign or on the miracle, because the miracles really were signs. And those signs or those miracles are no different than a sign is today. That's not the end. That's not the focus. The sign is just telling us where to go. So if we see a sign, an advertisement, that there is a food up ahead and we're hungry and we want and it looks so good, but there's no satisfaction in that sign. There's no quench of hunger in the sign. The sign just tells us, it points us to the end, which is the food that we are to go to, and it tells us how to go there. So if we don't actually go where the sign is pointing us to, we will never feel that relief for that hunger that we have. And so Jesus was telling the people also then that he is from God. God sent him. He came to do the will of the Father. And so the miracles that he had done, he tells the people. He says, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. So he tells them, if you don't see these signs, you don't see these wonders that I am doing, what did he do? You know, he went about and he did good. And he said, because of the good that I'm doing, you seek to stone me. So for all these miracles that he was doing, and I don't even understand, and I know you don't either, because imagine being in the presence of such power where he speaks and things take place. He says, the man comes to him and says, come, my son is dying. He says, your son is alive. Go. And he believed and he went and he found his son alive. And so in that presence of such power, they actually seek to stone him. It's not even, you can't grasp that for his doing good, they want to seek to destroy him. And are they not afraid that he can, with a word, destroy them? And if we think about that, isn't that the same thing going on today? These miracles are written so that we believe that Jesus came from God. These miracles are written so that we would know his power, that we would know that in him is life, that we would know that our life is held by him. And so we know these things, the same thing as the people in the times of Moses and the Exodus from Egypt and traveling through the wilderness and life in Canaan and the promised land and so on. Those people saw and they knew where all the power was, and yet they didn't believe. And so the times that Jesus was actually on the earth and he himself was here and doing the miracles, the people didn't believe. They pursued the miracles. Jesus even told them, the reason you're coming to me is not for anything other than because you were fed. You were fed. So you had something to gain from this miracle. And you're doing it. You're feeding upon the miracle. The miracle is not the focus. The focus is me. The focus is me, Jesus is saying. And so when we read of the miracles that Jesus performed, what is our focus? Because they're only there for one purpose. And John says in the next chapter, he says, and there's also many other things that Jesus did. And we can't even grasp this, or we can't even wrap our mind around what John is trying to say here. He says, the which if they should be written, every one, if you read the details of everything that Jesus did, he says, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. And why are they written? Why are they written? John says that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. So we see that the signs and the wonders, the miracles, are not the focus. They're just for us to believe. They take us and they point us to only one, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. He came doing miracles because he came to redeem us so that we would believe. The church had started. The early church in the first century, when it began, the apostles were given the power to do miracles so that those around would believe. And those things are now written for us so that we would believe. And we can stand in amazement at the times when Jesus walked this earth and did these things, and how could they not believe? But, you know, do we look at these things and know them to be true? We do. None of us would be here if we didn't think this was true. So we've all ascended to the understanding or the knowledge of knowing that those things have taken place. We all believe these things. But what does it do? Does it take us to Christ? If it doesn't take us to him, it all condemns us. Because Jesus says that we are all he says in I told you and ye believe not. So Jesus spoke, they didn't believe him. He says, the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not. But you believe not. And so what does that belief take us to? If it takes us to him, we go there to be washed, to be cleansed, to be made new, a new creature, where death no longer haunts us. Every man, the moment he is born into this world, death is tormenting him, pursuing him. Sicknesses, trials, and tribulations follow us, and right up until the very end. And there's no escaping. We all know that. And it's very short. We realize that as we get older. But the pursuit is on, and yet there is one who gives life. And he came and he testified. And he came and he bore witness that he was from the Father. And the people then rejected him. He says, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me. So in other words, look at my miracles that I did and come to me. He didn't just come as a man who no one knew where he came from. It was a miracle birth. It was a miracle birth. And it was a miracle resurrection. And the miracles that he performed, he says, he that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. He said, but I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. And so we also have seen him. We've seen him in the pages of Scripture because these things were written for us to believe. There's no other way. There's no other form of God speaking. This is it. He spoke lastly, he says, through his Son. That's the last time that he spoke. And he says, and you believe not. I'd like to just read in Colossians. A few verses where it, what happens to us when we come to Him? So, believing that Jesus came, did the miracles, died for our sins, believing all that is one thing. Coming to Him, looking at the sign, knowing that there's food ahead, we can believe it, but it doesn't do anything for us unless we go and follow the directions to that place to be fed. He says, I am the bread of life. I am the water where you partake of, you will never thirst again. And so he says, and you being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. He made you alive together with him. So we are all dead, born, because God told Adam, if you take of this fruit, you will die. And being the offspring of Adam, we are all dead. It's all true what happened. And so we are all these. So he made us alive, quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And so he goes on in chapter 3 and says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. So when we see and believe Christ and his miracles, the things that were written for us to believe, he says, seek him. Where will you find him? He said, he sits on the right hand of God. Set your affections now. Set your love on those things that are above, not on things on the earth. We know where our affections are, the things on this earth. What is the pool? What is pulling us? Where is it taking us? Where is it leading us to? We're not looking. We're just focused then on the miracles. We're focusing on the miracles of the resurrection and the birth and the life of Christ, but never going to him. But to go to him, he says, set your affections. He says, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members. Put those things to death. Those things, he says, which are upon the earth. The things that are drawing you. The things the affections that you are being drawn by, put those things to death. Take them to the cross with you. What are those things? Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. So coming to Christ is coming out of those things. We are redeemed. Just like the children of Israel didn't stay in Egypt. They came out of Egypt. And they come to a promised land where there's milk and honey. We came out of this life in these affections. We come out of those things. We placed our affections on things which are eternal, on Christ himself. We came to him. Follow me, Jesus is saying. We come to him. And what brings us to that? All of the signs that were written, that John wrote, that Matthew, Mark, Luke, the Acts of the Apostles that were written by Luke, all of the epistles that were written by Paul and Peter and James and John and the book of Revelation, all those things are written for us so that we could believe. Do we believe? What is that? He says, in the which ye walked in the time past when ye lived in them, but now put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with these deeds. You put off these things, and you have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Therefore, our focus has to be on Christ and him alone. It has to be on him and him alone. Because in the first chapter, John also writes, he says, "And as many as received him." So these things were written for us to believe, that believing, and the believing ye might have life through his name. And so in verse 12 of chapter 1, he says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." What does it take from you and me? Faith. Believing. And that believing is following that sign to him. We follow that miracle. Our focus is not on the miracle. And that is why those things were only done for a season. The Bible tells us, Apostle Paul says, those things are for a season. But they've all passed away. But now remains what? Just faith and hope and love. And the greatest is love itself. Because our faith takes us to Christ. Our hope takes us to him. And when we see him, our love, which lasts forever, it goes on into eternity. When faith is no longer needed, when hope is no longer there because we are in his presence, love, which is God himself, God is love, goes on forever and ever. And so what power did he give you and did he give me? He says, to them gave he power. What power do you have? What power do I have? Is it evident? Is it evident that the life of Christ is being made manifest? Think about that. The life of Christ is being made manifest in my life. He gave me the power. He says, in the beginning was the Word. This is the Word that we read. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And so, dear ones, the purpose of everything that was written was for us to believe. And when we believe, when we come to him, he creates a new man. He gives us power to live a life that is holy and pleasing unto him, and also, dear ones, one that points others to Christ. When you want to speak to anyone about your salvation, the only one that you can speak of is Jesus Christ. Don't speak about your church. Don't speak about the creed of your church. Don't speak about anything other than Jesus Christ and him alone. He is the one and the only one that we can point to. And the church that we attend believes in him. And the inerrancy of the scriptures and the scriptures as a whole. And we follow that. And we come together as a body of believers that upholds the scripture. And the unity that we share in Christ builds us up. But dear ones, our focus must be on Jesus and him alone. And so whatever our affections are they in alignment with Jesus Christ, the pure one, the holy one, that came down to take away our sins, to nail them on the cross, blot them out, blots out our transgressions, every one of them, and gives us a new life, a life in him. May he bless his word upon our hearts this evening. Amen.